worship you and openly express our faith without the fear of getting arrested this morning. We take that for granted sometimes, but we just want you to know that we're thankful for that today. Thank you for living big in us today, Lord. And we just thank you that we have ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear, and spiritual eyes to see beyond what's around us today, God, and to look into the supernatural realm. We thank you that your kingdom lives within us, and you've called us to bring forth that kingdom to the earth for such a time as this. This is the year, Lord, for your glory to be revealed in your sons and daughters. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you've called us and that you've chosen us even before the foundation of the earth. You set us apart as a chosen generation, a peculiar people that should show forth your praises in the earth. We're so thankful for that. And Father, we just lift the upcoming inauguration up right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just speak blessings over our incoming president, that he surrounds him with people that know your voice, that hear your voice, and that he seeks wise counsel in all things. And then he realizes, God, that the task that you set before him is much bigger than he can handle, and that he has to reach out and take your hand and hold on to your hand to lead this great nation of America. Though others may cast us down and say that we're doomed, we're not doomed. But Lord, there's a remnant of people that stands upon the truth of your word and says, Lord, we believe what your word says in spite of whatever thing around us or anything around us that's going on. We choose to believe, to stand on the truth of your word, that America indeed was founded upon the word. And we shall see your glory in America. And all nations will look to us for answers because we believe, we still believe in you, God. Thank you for that, Jesus. And church, we have the opportunity today to join Christians all around the world that are going to be praying for Israel. And we're going to have a special time after a while to pray for Israel and to agree with Christians. You know, we're on different time zones, so there's already people all over the world that are standing with Israel. And we are believers that will stand with Israel and say that God's will be done in that nation. Amen. If you've got a Sunday handout, we wrote a little bit about that in there. So we're going to be doing that later on, and all the information that you need to know is in the Sunday handout. Amen. I felt led this morning to read from Jeremiah chapter 29:11. Very familiar passage of scripture if you've been around church very long. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." If you're here today and you don't think you're without a plan, then I introduce you to someone that does know the plan for your life. And he is more than eager to share that plan with you. Amen. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." And his plans is this: to prosper you and not to harm you. You know, God is for you, not against you. And the church, sometimes because of the lack of the teaching of the word, we have given the world a bad rep of God. God is not out to get you. He is not holding anything against you. And he is not mad at you. And you can't ever do or have done anything to cause him to turn his back on you. Amen. It says, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So if you're out there today and you felt like you've been so bad that you've got no hope and no future, I want you to know that your future looks a lot brighter than your past. And your past is only a launching pad to God's plan and purpose for your life. Only believe. We got any believers in the house today? Any worshipers in the house today? Hallelujah. So worship God today. Stretch your faith out there. Grab a hold of all of God's promises. Because all of his promises are what? Yes. What? The glory of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. You know, if we quit and go home now, I think we got enough to make it through the weekend, amen? Well, hallelujah. That's a good thing about coming to church here. You get fed. Here, wait a minute.
I got a phone call yesterday while I was at work, and it's saying that the government has put out a bill to put prayer back in school. And I don't know if everybody else has got that call yet, but I know I got that call, and I'd be calling the government to sign your name on it. That's what they told me to do. So I just thought that was awesome. And I took my test last Monday for my social studies, and I just wanted to let everybody know I passed my social studies test. So I'm one step closer to get my GED.
Very good, kid. Amen. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. The darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you, and His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercy. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans you have for me, my life is in your hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see. My God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. And through the darkest night, light will shine. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. My God is good. God is good all the time. Amen. Amen. You ever pray? And you ask God a particular thing, and it seems like sometimes right off the bat you'll get this answer, and you'll be like, why? You ever done that? I've done that. I done that this morning. I did. I was putting this music glass together, and I stepped back, and I said, why? And I didn't hear nothing. But guess what I done? I left it alone. I've learned in life that sometimes you don't get an answer. Sit still. Be still. Be real still. Amen. Because see, God knows a lot more what we does, and He is the all in all. So, you know, I think His plan is working. We need to get out of his way and let his plan work. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Okay, God, let's go to the next one. Thank you, Jesus.
And all that's above, praising you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him, praising the sun, moon, and bright shining stars, praising you heavens and waters and skies.
Hallelujah. Aren't y'all glad to be at church today? Amen. Have you had a good week? Amen. And an awesome time to be in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
It's an awesome time to be in our country. I mean, regardless to what our government does, God has the key. He's the way. And it's going to be his way. When it's all said and done, it's going to be just like God has planned. Amen. And that's what we need to look forward to. Amen?
That's right.
Amen. Y'all know, I was standing here this morning, and I was reading in the book of Timothy. And as I was turning through 1 Timothy, I was noticing just how many sections of the book is telling us how to praise God and what it is that God has laid out for us. I won't go through it all, but sometimes you just read the heading above. Let me rephrase that. If you have a study Bible, I have a study Bible, and it over sections, it'll tell you just what you're about to read, what you're heading for. And it amazes me that our Lord has mapped it out and makes it so simple that we actually make it hard, that we don't follow suit, that we allow Satan to come between us and the Word, and it blinds us from doing everything. It blinds us from getting our blessings and everything. The God I serve is an awesome God. It's hard sometimes because people take for granted that tomorrow's going to come. You may not be here tomorrow.
That's right.
And you shouldn't leave yourself unprepared. And it scares me to know that I lived a long time unprepared. All I can say is the Lord is good. Come on, guys. While we're opening this song, let's give the Lord some praise. Let's do that. Yeah. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for being God, being the head of my life. I want to thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord God, because you arrange for everything, Lord. And with that being said, Lord, I'm going to thank you for this offering. I thank you for blessing our givers and our tithers, Lord God. And again, I thank you, Lord God, for just blessing the people that come in here and clean and decorate and do all the little things that goes unnoticed sometimes, Lord God. So I thank you for blessing them, Heavenly Father. Now, Lord God, bless us as we go out the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Faithful one, Jesus Christ, God's Son.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, I tell you what, sometimes you just, when I first started going to this church, that was one of the first songs I learned right there. Oh, yeah. Come through the door that day, All Things Are Possible was playing. I remember that. I'll never forget that. Never forget that. Ah, just the little things you can remember, amen? Amen? It's the little things you remember about what God's done in your life, amen? Well, I tell you another little thing I remember. I remember a little thing. I got on my knees in a jail cell one day, and I took the Lord to be my Savior. I remember that little thing. Ain't that awesome? Yeah, I remember that. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember those days? Sometimes I get a little bit excited because I know, and I'm not ashamed to tell the world what God has done for me. Amen? Because I tell you what, I was dead in sin. I was done. Wasn't no turning back. So with that being said, anytime you think you're too far gone, just look up. That light is at the end of the tunnel, amen? This next song is another song that I wasn't here very long and learned. Let's go, guys. Oh, hallelujah. I would like for everybody to just stand up one time on this one here. I think we can give the Lord just one song this morning. Because He is my Jesus and He is my Savior. Amen. Here we go, y'all.
My Savior, Lord, there is none like You. Say, all of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship You. Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us sing. Shout to the Lord, all the earth.
Father, I just thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just thank you and I just love you, Lord God. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, y'all just stay in that praise atmosphere, that worship atmosphere. Amen. Oh, I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
Even so, come, Lord.
Presence of God in the house right now. And if you have pain in your body, I want to lay hands on you and we will watch God heal you. Amen. So if you have pain in your body, if you are believing God for a breakthrough in another area of your life, I want to lay my hands on you and pray for you. Amen. So just come forward right now. Hallelujah. Oh, yasabato kuhuta satatataya. Lota tekete rebakatia soto conde diata tabashata tataya. Lababaha soto, yes, yandana makalia to shandadadaya. Oh, yasia manta kalia tokandia tokandada rabahasata atiada sodadaya. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord said, am I not God of more than enough? Have you not seen me move on your behalf before? And not only on your behalf, the behalf of the loved ones that you have stood in the gap for, says the Spirit of Grace. And I say, watch, and I will move on your behalf again. And those that you have stood before me and interceded and stood in the gap, I say that I will move for them even in the days ahead, said God. And you will see great deliverance even in your family, said the Lord. Those that seem hopeless, God said, I am bringing hope to you that they have hope, for I am the God of hope. So I say, be encouraged today and know that I am on your side. And I have seen the tears of intercession that have come up before me. And I said, I have taken all things into consideration and I will move greatly. Watch me move greatly even in the days ahead. And I hear God said, even in the court system. God says, even in the court system, know that I am the great judge. And the judge of this country does not have the final say-so. They're only in a position in the natural realm. But I'm the God of the judge in the supernatural realm. And I say, get outside of yourself and look into the supernatural and what you desire me to do. So God says, don't count on the court system to make the final decisions of those that you're believing me for. For my plan for them is even greater than that. My plan for them is even greater than that, says God. So continue to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for those that are even on drugs. For great deliverance is coming even to this area, says the Spirit of grace. For those things that have been done in darkness will be brought to light. And I, the Lord God, will have the final say so. For even as I have promised you, my church, that my glory will be seen upon the land, my glory is going into the dark places and bringing those out that have been hid in darkness. And I will bring great deliverance to them. And I will bring healing to their emotions and healing to their mind, where they say that I've been in this for so long, I cannot break free. No, you cannot break free on your own, says God. But I am the great chain breaker. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. God said to lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yada, 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 yada. Now. Now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name. There it is. There it is. Healing. Yes. Yes. Jesus' name. Wind.
Dismiss the classes. We're going to pray for Israel right now. Hallelujah. You could be seated.
Hey, Shirley, before we do that, I was going to make an announcement.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to, it's in the bulletin, but I just wanted to tell you all that Saturday, me and Monica are going to have the youth here at 5 o'clock Saturday, like until 9. We're going to watch like God's Not Dead and maybe God's Not Dead 2, eat pizza, do games and stuff like that, because, you know, we just wanted to get something together to see if we all can enjoy everything. And so you're all welcome to come.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bob, you have something to share about Israel? Okay, good. Because I was going to ask you all if you had anything. So thank you for being obedient. Well, I have him to come up. We're just going to ring a bell. That's what we're doing today, is we are ringing the bell today to declare that we are standing with Israel. So I'm going to just close your eyes, hold up your hand. You may not have a bell, but you see it in the supernatural. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Father God, we set this time aside to pray for the great nation of Israel. Thank you, Lord, that when we call upon you, you hear us. And we're so thankful for that today. Amen. Come on, Brother Bob. Amen. Amen.
Oh, do I need that? Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Let me read. Okay.
That way, if you get excited, I won't have to run after you.
let me read from, first of all, Romans 11. Sometimes we Christians have a different thought. You know, I've heard a lot from denominations that the Jews and the Romans crucified Jesus, and therefore they're not really important so much today. But let me read something to you. Look at Romans 11:18. This is the sort of the translation of it. It is not you, it is not the Christians who supports the root. Who are the Jews? The root is Jews. But the root, the Jews, supports you through Christ. Christians have been grafted into God's chosen tree, and it nourishes us, not vice versa. Because we all know the promise in Genesis says, now the Lord said to Abram, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Amen. Now let me read something. Let me read a blessing. It's not, you know, this is what George Washington told a Jewish synagogue. Listen to how he says this. And we all know George Washington's called the father of our country. So his presence probably carried a lot more weight since he had a lot more responsibility toward the Lord. This is what he told a Jewish synagogue. May the same wonder-working deity who long since delivered the Hebrews from their Egyptian oppressors and planted them in the promised land, whose providential agency has lately been conspicuous in establishing these United States as an independent nation. And he says, may this wonder-working deity still continue to water the Jews with the dews of heaven and to make the inhabitants of every denomination participate in the temporal and spiritual blessings of that people whose God is the Lord. I'd say that blessing has really carried through these several hundred years.
Yes.
And still going on today. And let me read something else. It's what John Adams said. I will insist that the Hebrews have done more to civilize men than any other nation. They preserve and propagate to all mankind the doctrine of a supreme, intelligent, wise, almighty sovereign of the universe, which I believe to be the great essential principle of all morality and consequently of all civilization. And one last thing, John Witherspoon, the signer of the Declaration, says, even if we didn't have the Jews, we would never have had the Scriptures. And we know that. And I just sometimes think, what if the Scriptures had been entrusted to somebody besides the Jews? Would we still have them?
Yeah.
To the Jews were first committed the care of the sacred writings, yet was the providence of God particularly manifest in their preservation and purity. The Jews were so faithful to their important trust that when copies of the law or the prophets were transcribed, they observed the most scrupulous exactness. And listen how scrupulous this is. They not only diligently compared the one with the other, but even counted the numbers of letters in each book and compared and recorded the numbers. They were so scrupulous in preserving that writings. And we still have the benefit of that today.
Amen. Thank you, Bob.
I forgot to read one other thing. Excuse me, I got to read one other thing. I had not thought about this. He said, it is not without wisdom that today's Christians, understanding the clear teachings of Romans 11, still remain among the Jews' strongest allies and supporters. And remembering the promise of blessing given in Genesis 12:3, they are also one of the world's staunchest defenders of the Jewish nation of Israel. Given the absolute irrational hatred that is so often expressed toward the Jews, both now and throughout history, one is hard-pressed not to acknowledge the supernatural source of the evil that is bent on their destruction. So we know Satan is behind that. Regardless of your particular end-time theology, knowing that there is coming an ultimate showdown when the nations of the world will be gathered around Jerusalem to make war against them, and if it is true that Jesus Christ will not return to the earth until, and these are the, this is the word, the Jews, until they look on him whom they have pierced and cry out for him to come, this is in Zechariah 12:10 and John 19:37. It only makes sense that Satan would seek to destroy them from the face of the earth in effort that he might postpone his own doom and recompense. If not for another reason than that we should be those who come to Israel's defense. If ever there was a time that Israel needed the courage of her friends to stand by its side, it would be now. I'd never thought about it. They will have to, the Jews will have to stand and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord.
Yes, amen.
And Satan doesn't want that to happen.
That's right. Amen. Thank you, Bob. Amen. When I think about the prayer to pray today, I want to pray Isaiah 54:17. We decree and declare today that no weapon that is formed against the nation of Israel or the people shall succeed at reaching its intended purpose. And every tongue that rises against this nation, you will condemn, God. This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, says the Lord. And we declare his glory and his freedom and unity by the Spirit of God under God with humility, honor, respect for each national leader and fellow citizen. We declare good news to be over every land as we honor the Creator of individual lands. We declare that Israel belongs to its own people and its borders will be set by God. This is our prayer and declaration together with one voice. We are agreeing with the UN peace bill for unity for nations, also to add our own declarations as God's people seeking to be in agreement with him. We as a church, we as Christians stand with Israel. And we want to make that declaration and decree today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Classes can go to their places this morning. Amen. Probably will be long, so I don't know. You know me. I don't know. Just want to get a word out there to you today. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for manifesting healing in people's bodies today, for bringing deliverance, setting some things in the atmosphere, God, to see your will come to pass in this earth, for the deliverance of people that are on drugs, Lord. We thank you, Father God. Things are coming to an end in Jesus' name. Today we're going to be talking about a very familiar word thrown around, especially Pentecostal circles, and just kind of throw it around, and sometimes we forget the meaning of it and the power of it, and that's faith. What it really is and what we really have as sons and daughters of God that's been given to us, and that is faith. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God or have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God or the God kind of faith. Faith, the Greek word, is P-I-S-T-I-S, and it means conviction or confidence, trust, belief, reliance, trustworthiness, and persuasion. And in the New Testament, this word is divinely implanted principle, inward confidence, assurance, trust, and reliance in God and all that he says. And in all that he says. In Ephesians 2:8, Paul says, but by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So it's God's grace that saves us, but not just his grace by itself, because then everybody would be saved. Amen? So, but faith, by faith we are saved with saving faith. So this faith is not our human faith. When you were born in this world, you automatically got faith. You know, when you look at that chair, human faith says, that chair looks sturdy, the legs look good, I'm going to sit in it, and I believe that chair is going to hold me up. Okay? That's just natural human faith. I believe if I get on an airplane, it's going to take me where I need to go. Amen? Even when it shakes and drops and all that. So, but by faith we are saved. Everybody, like I said, has natural human faith. And human faith that I'm talking about, it operates on our five senses. Our taste, our feel, our touch, and all that. And you know, what we see in here in the natural. That's human faith. And if we continue to take the word and try to operate it, our life by human faith, that's why we get discouraged. That's why we get disappointed. Because God is a spirit. And those that worship Him, those that worship Him must do that and serve Him in spirit and in truth. So we don't serve God out of natural human faith. We serve God out of supernatural faith. And we'll get into that in a minute. So human faith believes what it can see, taste, hear, smell, touch. That's our senses. And it's based on what we can see. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we received a supernatural faith to operate in the principles of God. Because we just can't take this word and just kind of throw it around and expect it to work for us. There is a way of doing things. There is kingdom principles on how to do things. So when we begin to mature and to grow in God, we begin to learn that. And we begin to learn how to govern our lives according to the principles of God that's in His Word. And when we do that, it's not tying God's hands. It's a system that He has set up, a spiritual system that He has set up. And if we want to see the kingdom of God that's already in us to come to pass in this earth, then we have to learn how to operate by kingdom principles. Amen? So this faith is a gift from God. If you are born again, you have been given that faith. Romans 12:3 says, God has given to every man the measure of faith. So when you got saved, He thought, well, she don't need much. I'll give her a little, maybe a teaspoon. Or I'll maybe just give her like half a cup. No, no, no. You got the same faith I do. You've got the same faith Smith Wigglesworth do. You've got the same faith Kenneth Hagin does. You've got the same faith our pastors have. There are some people that are learning and have learned and are learning how to operate in that supernatural faith. Right. Amen? And as we grow and mature and get into the Word, that's when our faith increases. Amen? So we have this God kind of faith inside of us. The God kind of faith, the faith that Jesus even had, is in us. To me, that makes me reverence God. That doesn't cause a selfish pride in me when I think of that. That makes me want to bow down and say, God, you trust this jar of clay, this human vessel that has made so many mistakes and continues to do. You trust us with this God kind of faith that moves mountains. And when you begin to get a revelation of that, it will cause you to be more humble than you've ever been in your life, that God trusts us with that kind of faith. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this life that we now live in the flesh, this part of us you see, our walking around everyday life, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave Himself for me. Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And so he had the same measure of faith that Jesus had. And like I said, so do we. Because all of us have been given that same measure. None of us have been left out. When you got born again in the natural, when your mother conceived you, and at that moment, everything was placed inside of you to either be a boy, a girl. Everything in this life that your purpose and stuff was placed in you at that moment. Yeah. Amen. But then there is a walking out and a maturing in the natural to begin to fulfill and accomplish life. Amen. It's the same thing as when we got born again. You know, God created us. We have always been His child. But at the moment we recognize that and come to Him, then we get a revelation. I'm a child of God. He knew me before I was ever conceived in my mother's womb. I've always been His child, but now I've come to recognize that, and I have received that. And you know why there's such joy? Because, like I said so many times, it's because we've been reconnected back to the one that created us. And now we have purpose. You know, denying Jesus is what sends people to hell.
Right.
God already took care of the sin problem.
Right.
Amen? He's already took care of the sin problem. It's denying who your Father is. And that's God. That's Jesus. He created you in His image. Amen? So he had the same measure of faith that Jesus had, and so do we. So to operate in this God kind of faith, we first have to acknowledge what we've got. If you've got $1 million in the bank and you don't never acknowledge it, you can't never use it.
Right.
Amen? So sometimes we just need to open the cover of our life and see what's been deposited in us as spiritual sons and daughters of God. We've got a lot under a hood that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Amen? So the word acknowledge means to admit. It means to recognize. It means to report the receipt of. You've been given a receipt that you've got faith. And it's found in here, in the Word of God. Once you begin to acknowledge what you have, then you can begin to operate from that point on. Recognize who you are in Christ. That you are more than. That you have faith to move mountains. Amen? So you begin to operate in the God kind of faith that is in you. Paul says in Philemon, I think that's how he pronounced that, 1:6, that the communication of your faith made the communication, that's an action word, of your faith may become effectual or effective by the acknowledging, what I just said, by the acknowledging of every good thing. You have got every good thing in you, which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now you've got to acknowledge, when I got born again, God gave me a measure of faith. I don't have to pray it down, fast it down. I just believe that God has given me that measure of faith. And when I begin to understand this faith that operates by love, the more that I'm going to be able to walk in that. Paul says to Philemon, I'm not praying for you to get more faith from God. You've got all you need right now.
Right.
But what I am doing, that you begin to acknowledge it, Philemon, that you begin to recognize all the good things that are in you, and when you do that, faith will increase.
Amen.
You know, my faith is bigger than what it used to be, not because God gave me more, but because I began to recognize who I am in Christ. And I begin to recognize the authority that I walk in as a daughter of God. Amen? Isn't that good? I got this. Amen. We know the Bible tells us that the enemy of our souls comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he wants to blind you from the fact that you already have faith. And that is, and one of the things that he steals from us and blinds us from is from the truth of the faith that we already have. It's like I said that time, and since then I've heard Andrew Womack say, we are chasing our tail when we've already got it. We're chasing after stuff that we've already got. And we wore ourselves out trying to have more faith when God says just to go out there and communicate what you have and watch your faith that you've already got become effective.
Right.
Amen? And that is to begin to get us to doubt we have enough faith to believe. You've got all the faith you need to believe.
Right. Right.
It's just that you don't you doubt.
Right.
That's it. You just doubt. You doubt that you can do what God says you can do. You can be what God says you can be. And you are who says God says you are. But when you, what's that saying that somebody said, have more faith and starve your doubts or something like that? You know, the more words you get in you and the more you begin to find out who you are and the faith that you have, doubt has to leave.
Amen.
It can't stay in the anointed Word of God. Everything that comes in contact with the Word must die. Amen. Your doubt has to die. Amen. Sickness has to die when it comes in contact with the Word.
Amen.
So doubt will rob you to the point you cannot believe God for anything.
Right.
Amen. So you don't have to ask God for more faith. Just begin using what you have, and the more you see God moving, on your behalf, the more you will believe that there is nothing impossible to those that believe. And because with God, all things are possible. And you have the God kind of faith in you right now, church. Romans 10:7 says, so the faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the what?
Word.
The Word of God. That's why the devil wants to keep you out of the Word. He wants to keep you confused by the Word. Because the more Word you get in you, the more revelation you have. And the more authority you can walk in, because you'll begin to see who you are and whose you are and why you are. And when you begin to get those three things in line, nothing is impossible for you.
Amen.
Amen. So sons and daughters of God, we don't live by our senses. We operate in another kingdom now. And we don't operate it by our five physical senses. That's when we become frustrated. That's when we begin to doubt. That's when we begin to want to quit. Because we're trying to operate from the Word with our taste, touch, see, smell. And those things will fail you every time. I can say that because I've been there. So we live by faith in the Son of God. So when it comes to God and His way of doing things, and His kingdom way of doing things, His kingdom principles of doing things, we must believe that which we do not see. And that's why people think we're crazy Pentecostals. It's because when we have pain, we can say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, and keep on going. Amen. Faith is real. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is, you know this scripture, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance. The Greek word here is translated of a firm foundation. The faith, the measure of faith God has given you is a firm foundation. It's substance. It has value to it. Amen? So faith is not a leap in the dark. It's based on reality. It's based on evidence, not just wishful thinking.
Amen.
If you see... Okay, I'm not going to go there. Notice it didn't say things that don't exist. They do exist. They just aren't seen.
Right.
That's why you've got to get beyond your natural ability to think and begin to see as God sees out there in the supernatural. Get a heaven's view of the situation. A kingdom view of the situation. A word view of the situation. So it didn't say things don't exist. They do. They just aren't seen. So faith is the title deed, one translation says. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for. When somebody gives me a title deed to something, I can look into that title deed, and whatever's within that deed is mine. Because I've been given a deed to it. Faith is. Whatever operates by faith in the supernatural, you've been given a title deed to it that it belongs to you. We have been given dominion, authority to walk in this earth that we're not using. Amen. When you walk out there into this world, when you walk, the glory of the God is on you, whether you see it or not. And wherever you go, darkness just has to dispel. Hallelujah. You get that vision in your mind, in your spirit this morning. Wherever you go, sickness has to be healed. Because the glory of God is on you. Amen. Depression on people has to fall off because the glory of God is on you, church. Believe that. Wherever you go, you walk in authority. I think it was reading in Smith Wigglesworth's book one time that said the shadow of him would heal people as he went by. Because he had faith in something bigger than himself. He knew who lived in him. The glory of God. Amen. Glory to God. Did you all get that? When you go out this afternoon, you go to Walmart, the glory of the Lord is on you. And you walk and pass somebody in a wheelchair, they may just get up and start walking. And you don't have to draw attention to yourself. You can just say glory to God and keep on walking. Hallelujah. Stuff will fall off of people's bodies because of the glory of God that's upon you. they'll go home and that thing on their arm's not there that no more, and they won't know what happened. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let faith live big in you. In 2 Kings, Elisha, the prophet of God, was revealing the Syrian battle plans to the king of Israel. And the enemy didn't know what was going on. And at one point they said, there must be a traitor among us. So they sent these people down to, they finally said, well, it's a traitor, all right. His name was Elisha. But what the problem was, they didn't know Elisha was getting his plans from another source that they didn't know about. Every time the king of Syria tried to ambush the king of Israel, Elisha would warn the children of Israel, the king of Israel, and he would ambush the Syrians. This happened so often, as I said, that the king of Assyria said, who is this traitor that's among us? Every time we try to go ambush something or do something, it stopped. So Israel could not be maneuvered like this without some inside information. You know why the enemy's mad at you and he's throwing fiery darts at you? It's he hasn't learned where you're getting your inside information yet. But you have inside information. Amen. Glory to God. And so one of the king of Syria's servants said to Elijah, the prophet of God, he's the one that's revealing the words that the king of Syria said in his bedchamber to the king of Israel. The king of Syria sent his armies to capture Elijah. 2 Kings 6:15 says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, going forth, behold, an host could pass the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant says unto him, how shall, alas, my master, how shall we do? When Elisha's servant saw the Syrian troops, they panicked. He knew they were there. They discovered Elisha was telling the king of Syria's battle plans to the king of Israel. Look at the response Elisha says in 2 Kings. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than that be with them. So he was seeing something in the supernatural that other people around him weren't seeing. And as a church that's anointed and full of faith, we see things that others around us can't see. That's when we can begin to pray while others don't know how to pray sometimes. That's when we can begin to pray the mind and will of God. It's because we see something beyond our natural eyesight. I see people delivered. I see people coming out of wheelchairs. I see you prosperous, glory to God. I see your family delivered. Why? Because I'm not looking at how they look right now. Glory to God. People who are believing with their five senses, as I said before, would think Elijah's lying. He don't see what he says he's seeing, but Elijah knew he was seeing what he was seeing, and that's all that mattered. So he was confessing something was so when it really wasn't out in here, and he spoke the truth. So the more with them was then was with the Syrian army. So Elijah began to see something that others could not see. And as a people of faith that's been given that measure of faith, when you pray, you already know it's done because you've already seen it. Even when it's not reality yet. Even if it's not come into manifestation yet. Amen. Let's go ahead and skip that part. Get on down here. I read the other day where Andrew Womack said, true faith doesn't deny physical truth. You don't deny that there's pain in your body. But that pain is a result of something else going on in your body. So it just refuses to let physical truth dominate spiritual truth. What you see out here, what you feel, and you don't allow your physical senses to dominate what you know the Word says. Let faith rise in you and let it dominate what you're seeing out here and what you're feeling. Elijah, as I said before, Elijah was just not speaking some wishful thinking or statement hoping that it would become a reality. He knew what was real in the spiritual world. And so do we. Amen. So do we. We know what the truth is, and it's what this Bible says. That's how our faith gets built, church, is knowing the Word of God and getting a revelation of that Word. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. An author is an originator or creator as of a plan. The Greek word translated author means captain, chief leader, or prince. So being the originator of our faith in that he begins it, and as a captain and a prince of our faith, this indicates that Jesus controls our faith. He steers it as a captain steers a ship. He presides over it as a monarch presides over and cares for his people. So when you step out in faith and choose to believe, that's guarded and steered by God. And what does he say about his word? He says, my word don't come back to me void. So when we choose to operate in word, we're operating in faith. We're not operating in our senses, physical senses. We're operating in faith. And so when we do that, God watches over our faith and the word, and it'll come to pass. That's his promise to us in Isaiah. The Greek word translated perfecter appears, because one of the translations says it's the perfecter of our faith, and it only appears one time in the New Testament. It literally means completer or finisher, and speaks of something to its speaks of bringing something to its conclusion. So when you choose to believe and step out there in the supernatural beyond your senses, God watches over that to bring it to completion. So when we put these two words together, we say that Jesus is God, both creates and sustains us, watches over us, takes care of us, until what we're believing to know to be of truth comes to pass. So you are not alone in believing. If you are around people that are doubters, a family of doubters or whatever, you know what's the truth. And God will watch over you. He will sustain you until you see that word come to pass. Even if they think you're crazy and you've lost your mind. And sometimes you just sit there, keep your mouth shut with a big silly smile on your face and let them think what you're smiling about. Because they don't have to know. Amen? Like someone who is a writer of a book, they begin to get idea of a book and they begin to pen that on paper. They're the author. They're the originator of that story. And they're the author or the one who originates the idea of a book. And then they are the finisher of that book. And so then they begin to watch over the author to bring it to completion. They start the book. They end the book. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author of this book from Genesis to Revelation. And everything in here will come to pass. All the truth of this word of God that belongs to you will come to pass. So when we begin to walk in supernatural faith, the faith that has already been given to us, the author of that faith will watch over it in our lives to bring what we believe to be of truth to come into reality. Because we know that this word is the truth. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Father, we just thank you. Hallelujah. For showing up big today. Thank you for the manifestation of your promises today, God. And we just speak that over our pastor today in the name of Jesus. We just speak that over him and Pastor Laverne right now, that they are the healed of the Lord. We speak that over them, that their faith rises up big today. We speak that over them in the name of Jesus. I speak the word of the Lord over you today, church, that you are prosperous, that you are highly favored of the Lord, that you are the head and not the tail. And everything that God has planned and destined for you will come to pass. Keep believing, keep trusting, and keep going on with the Lord. For soon and very soon, you will see the completion of that which you are believing for. Go this week in the name of the Lord, knowing that the glory of the Lord is upon you. And you never know who you're going to pass that needs healing, that needs deliverance. And allow that glory just to overflow in you onto them. And watch God do the finished work. Amen. Be blessed in Jesus' name.